Chapter 17. The Maxulk's hegemony's loyal 17th Fleet, or technically that portion of the 17th that had not defected to the rebels, prepared to jump into battle. The 17th had received intelligence that a rebel task force of moderate size and power had gathered in a nearby red dwarf star system known as Hegustria to refuel, rearm, and conduct repairs. The loyal ships of the 17th, a fleet diminished in strength due to the defections and from being in nearly continuous combat for the past 11 days, would ordinarily have merely waited and observed until substantial reinforcements could arrive. Tangling with a rebel force, even one reported to possess inferior numbers and striking power, would be considered too great a risk for a single understrength fleet. The hegemony government understood that while the fight against the rebels appeared to be primarily a military campaign of starships shooting at each other, the true battlefield was in the hearts and minds of the crews of those ships. Crews had declared their loyalty or treason, and although there appeared to be a stark gulf between the two, the reality was more of a gray area. It was vital that the hegemony not only win battles in the cold environment of space, the government fleet had to maintain the appearance of overwhelming strength. At some point during the course of the war, crews that had made a choice to be loyal might reconsider that decision if they saw the hegemony was at major risk of losing the fight. So the 17th, like all hegemony units, had standing orders to avoid anything other than battles where they had a significant advantage. Ordinarily, that meant passing up an opportunity to strike the rebels while those traitorous scum were vulnerable. But the 17th had been promised assistance from an unlikely source, their ancient enemy. A squadron of Rindaloo cruisers would be accompanying the 17th for the strike. Operating independently, though coordinating their actions with the 17th's commander, the Rindaloo would ensure victory for the hegemony. While he issued orders to his ships, the 17th's commander instructed his implants to squash the queasy feeling in his stomach. There had been rumors of the Rindaloo operating with hegemony forces to avoid a total collapse of the enemy government. But there were rumors that the treacherous spiders had also intervened to prevent rebel fleets from being destroyed. The 17th's commander was not sure which rumor to believe, but he did know one thing for certain. While it was not in the interests of the Rindaloo to see the hegemony collapse, the spiders also had an interest in keeping the civil war raging. The spiders could not be trusted. Commodore Chatat Ragovius, commander of the Rindaloo Cruiser Squadron, had many questions about the upcoming joint operation with the enemy's 17th Fleet in the Hegustria system. There was one aspect of the operation she was certain about. Could she trust the Maxulks? The answer was a firm no. That is why she did not plan to jump all 11 of her warships into the fight. One would jump to a different location, close enough to observe the battle, far enough away to remain undetected. If the hegemony commander asked why her squadron was down by one ship, she would claim a glitch in the missing ship's navigation system. She suspected the 17th's commander had also detached at least a frigate to observe in case the battle did not go as planned. As planned, it should be a slaughter. The combined attacking force had nearly a 2-to-1 advantage in striking power, though outnumbered 30% in ships. That advantage of striking power did not include the qualitative edge the Rindaloo ships had over the enemy, nor the effect of deferred maintenance on ships of the rebel fleet. Simulations predicted the rebel ships would begin running out of missiles, burning out directed energy projectors, and suffering from failing defensive energy shields within the first 10 minutes of the engagement. The fight should be decided in 15 minutes, after which Commodore Ragovius intended to disengage and allow the hegemony ships to chase down and eliminate any rebel survivors. The Maxulk's government blowing up defenseless rebel ships would only make other rebel units more determined to continue the fight, and that no quarter would be given in future battles. Her orders were to let the enemies bleed each other, so long as the hegemony government did not feel their survival was seriously threatened. The clock counted down. Her crew confirmed the enemy 17th Fleet was ready, and at the appointed time, the squadron jumped. Immediately, Commodore Ragovius discovered something was wrong. Very wrong. The intel provided by the 17th Fleet, intelligence declared to have a confidence level of 99%, was wrong. There were 50% more rebel ships in system than expected, and a greater percentage of heavy combatants.
All units hold position.
she ordered while she pinged her tactical AIs to get their advice. She had known she could not trust the honor of the Maxalks, but she had believed she could trust their competence. What else had she been wrong about? The commander of the 17th Fleet was just as furious. The only reason his ships had jumped into battle was the wildly erroneous intel provided by the Rindaloo. The spiders had been wrong, perhaps disastrously so. He was about to order his ships to jump away, without the courtesy of informing his Rindaloo counterpart of his intentions, when he noticed the ships of the 17th were deviating from their assigned vectors. Instead of racing in toward the gas giant planet that was the rebels' fuel depot, his ships were turning toward the Rindaloo.
Gorvadli, he roared to his second-in-command. What is happening?
Commodore Rogovius noticed the anomalous behavior of the 17th Fleet's ships and recognized the threat even before the squadron's tactical AIs could sound an alert. Perhaps the Maxalks were not incompetent at all. Perhaps they had intentionally passed false intel to lure her squadron into an ambush. No matter. The Maxalts had no idea what her ships were capable of.
All units, emergency retreat!
She would jump away to assess the situation. Then she would bring the pain. Except none of the squadron's ships jumped. Her own ship made an odd, strangled sound and lost power. That was impossible. Unless, she thought with horror, the elder AI the Maxalks had recently acquired was assisting the hegemony. The commander of the 17th Fleet also experienced horror, though for a different reason. He had lost control of his ships, which were now locking weapons on the Rindaloo, whose ships were apparently defenseless.
Gorvadli, what is happening?
He repeated the question. Before his second-in-command could answer, he heard his own voice, though he was not speaking. It was a broadcast, going out to all ships in the area, and though it was recognizably his voice, he had never spoken those words.
Rebel fleet, we of the hegemony are not your enemy. Our ancient enemy is here. Join us to destroy them, for the glory of our people.
The ships of the hegemony 17th Fleet opened fire. When the ferocious battle at Hegustria was over, all 10 of the Rindaloo warships had been completely destroyed. Those ships never had a chance. After they suddenly lost power, the squadron was never able to set up a proper defense. Most of the damage had been done by rebel ships. The hegemony 17th Fleet had disengaged and raced away after firing only 3 volleys, but by that time, the fate of the battle was decided. When it became clear the Rindaloo ships were combat ineffective, the rebels shifted their focus to the retreating hegemony force and conducted a rather lackluster chase until the hegemony ships jumped away. Overall, the 17th lost 18% of its ships. The rebel losses were somewhat less. The raw numbers were not of any comfort to the rebels, as they were less able to afford losses, and they now had to find a new refueling base. Overall, the battle was a confusing mess with no clear winner. And no clear purpose. Determining the reason behind the unexpected battle was beyond the ability of the analysis AI that toiled aboard the single Rindaloo cruiser that survived what should have been an easy victory. The AI was able to draw one conclusion that was both obvious and shocking. Rindaloo starships had suddenly lost power, all 10 ships at the same time. That had to be caused by an unprecedented cyber attack. Except the Maxalks were certainly not able to penetrate the systems of Rindaloo ships. A powerful AI had to be involved. An elder AI, like the one recently captured by the Maxalks. The Rindaloo had decided to take a wait-and-see attitude toward the new AI possessed by their enemies, believing it unlikely the elder machine would cooperate in any significant way. Now they faced not one enemy assisted by an elder AI, but 2. Something had to be done, and soon. Observing the chaos and stealth from the safe distance of 4 light hours, Ottavio Scarandum nodded slowly. Viewing events with a time lag of 4 hours was regrettable, though the Dutchman's impressive sensors depicted the action as if he was there. Ships of the Maxalks hegemony and the Rindaloo communal gathering, which only minutes before had jumped in together to strike a rebel fleet that had superior numbers, were now firing on each other, even if those events had occurred 4 hours earlier. As he watched, Rebel ships that had initially fled from the attacking force turned and burned to re-engage, curving around not toward the hegemony ships, but toward the defenseless Rindaloo, to shoot before the Rindaloo ships could fully recover. The Rindaloo had managed to deploy missiles, though clumsily, and their energy shields were only slowly coming back online. Ships from three distinct formations staggered and exploded, and more rebel ships jumped in, sensing a rare opportunity for a slaughter. The rebels should have focused their weapons on the hegemony vessels, but instincts and millennia of propaganda had instilled a deep hatred of the Rindaloo, so the rebels directed most of their fire at the Rindaloo. Unable to effectively defend themselves, the Rindaloo could have pleaded with the hegemony commander to provide cover, but they knew their always reluctant allies had betrayed them. Or so they thought. "This is going even better than I hoped." Skarandum clacked his claws together. "Look at that! Nagatha, thank you." The AI's avatar blushed, clasping her hands in a demure gesture.
"I only followed Skippy's instructions."
"Something only you could do." Skarandum understood it was a time that called for him to be lavish with praise. "This is," he marveled at the scene, "marvelous. It is so rewarding to witness a carefully crafted plan coming together flawlessly." Dabbing at his eyes, he sniffled. Chang blinked.
"Captain, are you crying?"
"No, of course not." Skarandum sniffled again, even as he pulled a cloth from a pocket and dabbed at his eyes while he watched starships exploding.
"It's the little things in life that make it really special, eh?"
Chang stared at the alien, not knowing how to respond. Maybe, he thought to himself, I truly am getting too old for this shit.
"Yes, it is."
"Do you know what we need, Senior Colonel?"
Chang was afraid to ask.
"What?"
"I expect this slaughter will go on for a while. I believe this is an occasion that you humans commemorate by consuming something called popcorn."
Chang closed his office door, grateful for the privacy, grateful for the peace and quiet. Their guest was polite, he was entertaining, he could be amusing, and there was just too much of him. The giraffe that constantly wanted to talk and drink, it was like their species had no off switch. Chang did not consider himself to be an introvert, but after several hours with Skarandum, what he needed was to get away and not have to be on all the time. He also needed to have a private chat with his ship's AI.
"Nagatha?"
"Yes, Senior Colonel?"
"You made that look easy. I suspect it was not. What was the delay?"
The entire plan had been Skarandum's idea, according to Bishop. Chang understood his former commanding officer well enough to know that if Joe Bishop had been involved in developing the plan to screw with both senior species, he would have claimed part of the credit.
"The delay," she emphasized the word, "was caused by Skippy."
"What did he do this time?"
"The problem was what he did not do. The scheme was set up properly, and I have to admit it was frightfully clever, even for Skippy. Please do not repeat this, but sometimes our dear Skippy underestimates his own awesomeness."
Excuse me?
Chang wasn't sure he had heard correctly. In fact, he was sure he had not heard her correctly. She sighed.
"Skippy is actually even more awesome than he boasts about. You humans can't appreciate the scope of what he does. I have a mere glimpse of the truly vast scope of his awesomeness, and it boggles my mind."
"Trust me, I will not be repeating that anywhere Skippy can hear me."
She laughed.
"Probably a good idea."
"If Skippy is so awesome, why was there a delay?"
"The appropriate code had been uploaded to the Rindaloo and Maxulk ships, a procedure that was nearly godlike in its complexity. I cannot even comprehend how Skippy accomplished such a task remotely. Everything was set up properly. However, when I attempted to activate the malicious code, I discovered that Skippy had neglected to anticipate the malicious code might evolve in unpredictable ways inside the Rindaloo substrate. When I tried to connect, I saw that a crucial piece was missing. You might think of it as having assembled a rifle, but forgetting the firing pin."
Placing his fists together on the desk, Chang closed his eyes for a moment.
I have often wanted to strangle that beer can.
You will need to get in line, she sniffed.
The delay you noticed was the time it took for me to create my own mechanism for activating the code. From there, it was simple, and the operation proceeded as Skippy had planned.
As Scorandum had planned.
Yes, well, I would like to believe our guest was inspired by General Bishop, she said the name breathlessly. Joe is so smart, don't you think?
Yes, of course. The way she gushed over Bishop was mildly embarrassing.
Phase one does appear to be complete, he noted. Phase one was for Nagatha to activate preloaded code that disabled the Rindaloo ships, causing the Maxalk's fleet to turn and fire on their temporary allies, and for the 17th flagship to broadcast an appeal for the rebels to join the fight against their ancient enemy. That part of the operation had certainly worked as planned. Now we will see whether the Rindaloo act as Captain Scorandum expects. If not, we will need a plan B.
Do we have a plan B? She asked, surprised.
Not that I know of. If we do need a backup plan, I fear that one beat-up old star carrier is not enough to handle the job.
Something must be done,
the Rindaloo foundling urged. We must consider, replied the mature member of the species after a long moment to consider how to respond, or whether a response was even necessary.
We must act soon, the foundling insisted.
You are still a foundling, the older one said with a sigh. Your instinct is always to be hasty, for you are yet young, and do not take time to contemplate the full range of your options, including the option to do nothing.
You never want to do anything,
the foundling protested. She was 87 years old, in command of a battle group, and still those in control of their society considered her to be immature and far too hasty.
Enough, the older one spoke. A decision has been made. We will act.
The foundling was shocked. It had only urged action to be considered.
Act? Before we are sure we understand the problem? We are not even certain the new AI is responsible for the recent unfortunate events in the Hegustria system.
We will act so we can understand the problem, the older one explained. To the Maxalks, we will propose a joint effort to examine the artifact, to determine whether it was involved in the disaster, the betrayal at Hegustria, and to determine whether it poses an additional threat to us.
The foundling shook her forelegs, a gesture of surprise, of disbelief.
You cannot expect our enemy to agree, to provide access for us to examine the artifact.
We do not expect them to comply.
Then how?
We will make them an offer they can't refuse.
The Flying Dutchman drifted in the vicinity of an Esselgen relay station while Nagatha sorted through the flood of mostly useless message traffic.
Oh, dear,
she said with a disapproving tisk-tisk sound under her breath.
Why do the Esselgen waste so much of their time on cat videos?
Cat? Chang, up to that point merely bored, was jerked back to attention.
Cat videos? Not cats, exactly. The Esselgen have an animal called a verta they keep as pets. They fill a role similar to house cats on Earth, although vertas have razor-sharp fangs and are extremely bad-tempered.
Sounds like a cat, Chang muttered.
Apparently their antics are considered quite amusing. Would you like to view a sample of videos?
Maybe later, please, he pleaded with the ship's AI. He had been stuck in the conference room with Captain Scorandum for over 2 hours and was desperate for any excuse to get away.
Have you found any information that is relevant to our mission?
That is a good question. What type of information are you looking... Oh, why, yes, there it is!
Nagatha, he asked slowly, one eye on his guest. Did you forget what you were supposed to be doing?
He had to keep in mind that Nagatha was originally programmed by Skippy, the undisputed king of absent-mindedness.
I am terribly sorry, Senior Colonel. The videos had me a bit distracted. Yes, there is a flash priority message from Rindaloo Fleet Headquarters to all units in the field. Any ships in Maxalk's territory are to pull back to home bases, to refuel, rearm, and take up a defensive posture. No further assistance is to be provided to the Hegemony government.
Scarandum clapped a claw on the conference table, and one of his antennas drew a checkmark in the air. That is phase one complete.
Congratulations, Captain.
Nagatha, what else are the spiders doing?
I have to sort through the message traffic. There is no statement about whether the Rindaloo will continue to provide logistical and supply aid to the rebels.
However, there is other message traffic stating that the Rindaloo fleet will activate a defense plan that calls for banishing ships of all other species from the home territory.
Presumably that includes the rebels. Yes. Yes, I also see messages canceling the fabrication of components that were to be given to the rebels.
Is there any clue to how the spiders are reacting to their ships being hacked by an Elder AI?
Chang felt vaguely guilty about the deception. It was true those ships had been hacked by an Elder AI, just not the one possessed by the Rotten Kitties.
Not specifically. I can read between the lines, if you like.
Please do.
Their fleet's defense plan is focused on defending their core territory, which implies they are facing a major threat, and all units have been instructed to perform an emergency update to their operating software.
That is certainly a clue, Scarandum exulted.
As I said, that is one phase complete. It appears the second phase is well underway, eh?
Senior Colonel, this calls for a celebration, don't you agree?
Yes, Chang agreed with a barely suppressed sigh. To the Jurapta, everything was an occasion for celebrating, which meant consuming mass quantities of intoxicants. That included the glorious occasion of finishing one bottle, which clearly called for another bottle. He anticipated a very long night.